Great to have you all together in one place at one time. Hallelujah. Yeah. As the Lord's been telling me this year, together we're better. Together we're better. Amen. We need each other. And it's important that we be together. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate 240 years as a nation. America's 240 years young tomorrow. Yeah, that's great. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. And we've been blessed to be born here or to either move here, whatever, but be blessed to live in this land of freedom. And we need to know that the original intent of the freedom that God brought here when the Puritans came over was the tyranny of a rule over religion, over having that relationship. It was basically the Catholic Church telling the Reformed Church this, but the Reformed Church knowing that we were saved by grace and not by works. See, and so that was the original intent of when the Puritans came to America, that we were saved by grace and that the government would not tell the church how to have church. It wasn't the intent of our leaders in that day that we would let every different religion in the world come to America. It wasn't the intent that we would have idol worship here in America. Because with freedom comes great responsibility. Amen? And you know, we have men and women we know that lay down their lives for our freedom. They fight so that we can be free. And we are to be one nation under the true and the living God, Jesus Christ. We're not under Allah. We're not under, you know, anybody but Jesus. Amen? And that is what the intent of our forefathers was. But you're here in America with all this freedom, and we're given a great opportunity to share the love of Jesus. You know, God has been bringing, as America has sent out so many missionaries to the world, has sent people all over the place. I know I just read about Rick Warren. He has a team. They have gone to every nation in the world, Rick Warren has, and put people in every nation. The Assemblies of God. We have like 67 million members in the Assemblies of God, but only 3 million in the U.S., and the rest are outside the U.S. because of missions. But what God is doing, you know, one of the things I realized when I was in China, it was a lot easier and safer for me if they could bring the people out of the countryside into the city, train them in the city, and we could send them back. So when we would go and do conferences, we would have people come from 700-800 miles away. And come by train, they drive. When Pastor Jesse and I were in a city called Harbin, they brought people from 700-800 miles away to spend 5 days with us. And this guy had a church in a cornfield where we were able to minister. It was great. And I mean, I felt safe. I don't know about Pastor Jesse, but I felt safe. But the thing that I want to tell you is because of the freedom that we have here, God is bringing the nations to us. You know, he's bringing the nations so that we can train them up with the intent to send them back. Amen? I know there's guys in the Philippines, there's guys in Singapore, that they bring a lot of Chinese people out of China, and they train them and they send them back. I mean, we have a Spanish church going on right now. We have a Korean church going on right now. And I'm really working on an Arabic church because God is bringing the Arabs to America. So we need to reach them, amen. I mean, we could condemn them and want to kill them and want to be, you know, on that level that the Islamic religion is against us. But that's not what God called us to do. He said, love God and love people, amen. So it's got to be about our business to win them. So I feel we need an Arabic church here to win the Arabs. You know, we've got a mosque in our town, and we need to push back in the spirit to win them, amen, to reveal Christ to them. So with freedom comes great responsibility. The freedom that you have today, I pray that you take it to heart, that God has placed you here for a reason, not just so that you can come to church and show up when you want, but that he can empower you to do the work of the ministry, because listen, it is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I know the enemy of our soul tries to put things in our path to distract us and deter us, as I've been talking about, to us to lose our focus. But we have to remain focused. It's all about Jesus and the hope of glory. Amen. And so Jesus came and he made a way for us to have a relationship with God the Father, and by being the perfect sacrifice for our lives. Amen. So that today we can now be in Christ and Christ in us. And we can do the things of God and be empowered by the Spirit to where we lay hands on the sick and they recover. Amen. We can believe for the things of God like never before because of what Jesus has done. And so as we continue in the book of Colossians, as you see, the title of my message today is Get Rid of the Old. How many of you got some old bags you need to get rid of? You know, I read something the other day. This person said, well, I decided to be like a Japanese person. I went into my house and I picked up everything and asked myself, do I really need this? And with the intent of getting rid of whatever I didn't need. So the lady said, I got rid of my vegetables, I got rid of the fruit, I got rid of my diet pills. But that's what we need to do. We need to get rid of the things that are hindering us. Amen. And we need to move forward with what God has created us for. How many of you have ever made a mistake before? It's under the blood. We just move forward. We move forward in Christ. Amen. So today, you know, why don't we stand and we're going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 11. It's titled, Not Carnality, But Christ. So here we go. Verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. In which you yourselves once, see, I love this, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, everybody say, but now. You yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Next. All right. Wait, did you skip something? You did. Oh, I did. I skipped 10. Let me go to my Bible real quick. Here we go. And have, let's see, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you today for your word. And Jesus, you are all and in all, and we glorify you today. We exalt you. We've come today. We've lifted up songs of praise. We've brought our tithes and our offerings all to the glory of God. Now I pray, let your word just be transformational in our lives. Let us be strengthened and encouraged by your word today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So we're just coming off. Last week I talked about, you know, not being judged and having religious restrictions put on you. You know, our sins have been forgiven, and the Lord has disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. The Lord has disarmed them. Okay, they don't have power over us. Look at your neighbor and say, no power. The devil has no power over you. Now let that sink into you. The devil has no power over you. So when you walk around saying, oh, the devil is coming against me, you're giving him power. He does not have power over you. He may try and do things, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? He is great in you. So in today's passage, Paul gives us some instruction of our role. Because, you know, you don't just get saved and then bebop along. There is your role in the kingdom of God, amen? You have a way that God is calling you to. Me too, he's calling us to this. So it may seem like just simple stuff, but the question always comes back to, are you doing the simple things? You know, it's like when a basketball team gets away from the basics, you know, just setting a basic pick, you know, so that the guy can score. When they get away from the basics, you know, the team doesn't excel well. But when a team is really solid in the basics of their game, they can really do a lot. And they can excel more in the fancy things, amen? You know, when we have the basics of the kingdom of God active and working in our life, then God can trust us more with his power, more that we could do more for the kingdom of God. So the first thing that I want to point out to you that Paul said is, seek those things which are above. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the earth. You know, I know that you got to balance your checkbook. I know that you got to go to work. I know there's things in this life that we need to do, but he wants our focus to be on him. He wants our focus to be on the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things and his way of being right. That's what Matthew 6:33 says. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, everybody say all, will be added unto you. So when we have our focus on the things above and not on the earth, then we'll walk in the victory that he has for us. Because listen, he said, you died. That's what the passage says. You died. How many of you are dead? Raise your hand if you're dead. Huh? You're dead in this life. You're dead to yourself. You're alive in Christ. That's the intent. You're dead. Your way of doing things, your way of being right, is dead. Now you've come over and you've picked up the word of God and you said, okay, I'm going to do things your way. So now I'm dead. Ron King is dead. And then it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, Christ, who is our life, when he appears, then we will also be with him in glory. See, the intent is that we start doing things his way. See, I did an example one time. I just love the feel of this Bible. It just feels so good to me. It's my $20 large print, you know. But I did a demonstration one time where I had just like a bottle of a cup of Coke. And you know, when you're gonna drink something new, like if you want water instead of Coke, you know, you just dump out the water. You know, and we can get so focused on what was in the cup and what's in the cup that we don't pour in. But I just took a pitcher of fresh water and I just dumped it into that cup of Coke. And you know what happened? After a few seconds, man, that Coke was gone and that water was all pure in there. You know, because we can get so focused on the things of this world that it muddies the waters for us. But when we're focused on Jesus and pouring in the things of God, everything clears up. You know, but when we're looking at this and this and this, and you know, then it can distract us to where we forget to pour in. So when we're pouring in the kingdom of God, it clears up the muddiness. It clears up the junk of this world so that everything becomes clear and God is able to have his way in our life. Amen? But when we're just focused on that cup of Coke, you know, even when you dump out the Coke, there's a residual. You know, Delana's like, oh, you can't drink out of that cup. She's always, you can't drink out of that cup. She takes it. She has to dump it out. She has to rinse it. Because I'm like, I'll just go ahead and dump a little something more on top of that. She's like, what do you mean dump a little something more on top of that? You know? I'm like, it's okay. I don't care. Just keep pouring in. It's gonna thin out at some point. She can't stand it. I mean, I'll do that with a cup of coffee. I juice. And when I'm done juicing, drinking that juice, and it's all yucky in that cup, I fill it up with water and I drink it again. And then I fill it up with an energy drink and I drink it again. I just use one cup. Listen, you're just one cup. What you fill it with is what's going to make the difference. It's not about what you can empty yourself, but But today he's going to tell us to get rid of some things. So number two, it says, put to death your members which are on the earth. Everybody say death. Put them to death. Went shooting yesterday. Boy, that was fun. Dylan's like, did you blow off a lot of steam? I said, no, I just took one gun. You know, but I had fun. I just went out and shot it up for quite a while and came back. You know, just drove out to the mountains and it's fun. I like, you know, a lot of pastors play golf. Pastor Dave played golf all his life and I like to shoot, you know, so I'm a little different that way. But and I had fun yesterday. I think next time I'll just take all these things and I'll write them on my targets. And I will put them to death. I think I'll go today again. But these are the things he tells us to put to death. Fornication. Uncleanness. Passion. When he says passion, he's not talking about passion for him. He's talking about passion for the world. When he's talking about fornication, he's talking about, you know, don't allow yourself to get caught up in sexual immorality. Don't let immorality settle into you. Cast it down. Put it to death. Evil desires. You know, with the enemy will always bring you evil desires. And you know what? You're not a bad person if you have a bad thought. How many of you have ever had a bad thought? How many had a bad thought this week? Okay, that doesn't make you a bad person. It just means that the enemy's trying. Now, what you do with that bad thought is what determines whether you're a bad person or not. Because if you got that bad thought, well, I feel like slapping this person in the mouth, and then you just said, oh, I'm going to self-control, I'm not going to do it. But if you did it, then, well, you know. Delonda took my grandson Toby aside a few years back because he just tended to do whatever came to his mind. If it was smack somebody, he'd just smack them. And Delonda took him and she sat him down. She said, you know, you got two voices. One that's going to tell you bad, one that's going to tell you good. You got to start listening to the good and stop listening to the bad. And then that bad voice will grow quieter and quieter and quieter. But what the enemy of our soul does, because he knows our carnal mind, he tries to bring up those things which he knows entices you. He tries to capture you on, bring thoughts of things that been a part of your nature before. And you say, well, I killed that guy. That guy's not there. And the devil will try and bring it up again. And you'll think, oh, you'll be going along and you'll be like, man, I used to do this. And you'll testify. Oh, I used to do this and the Lord set me free. And it's not a part of my life anymore. And then the next week you're thinking, that's all you want to do. And you're like, what in the world did that come from? I got this thing beat. But what the enemy tries to do is he tries to come back. And especially when you testify. I had a brother come one day and testify how the Lord healed his knee. And the Lord had healed his knee. And while he was speaking, the pain came back. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm not taking this. I just cast it down. In his mind, he's like, I cast it down today in the name of Jesus. I'm walking off the stage. Because he said, the pain come back so bad. You see, and that's what the enemy will try and do. He'll try to bring those things up to you that you've put to death. And then covetousness, which is idolatry. So, you know, it's like looking at your neighbor's stuff and going, ooh, I want that. That's idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. It's wanting something that somebody else has is idolatry. Or worshiping an idol, worshiping whatever it is that you either you bought or you got or you want. And listen, the whole thing, the reason why we need to put these things to death, but because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God is coming on those who practice these things. How many of you want the wrath of God in your life? Man, we're going to open up the seals this Wednesday in Revelation. Whew. Don't want to be here when that happens. I guarantee it. We're not going to actually open. We're just going to talk, okay? Because we're not qualified to open the seals, but we can read about it. But listen, it says, you see, put to death your members in which you were on the earth. And then if you jump down a little bit, it says, and it lists those things, and then it says, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So there's the intent that when you come into Christ, that these things shouldn't be a part of our life. Amen? They're dead. We're putting those to death. They're not a part of our life anymore. That we don't have to, that when you come to Christ Jesus, we should get a knowing that, ooh, I can't do that no more. That's not gonna work in my life. That, you know, no fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness. You know, that's not going to be a part of my life. We should know. We should get that in our heart. And he says, put it to death. And then number three, he says, you yourselves are to put off all these. You, everybody look at your neighbor and say, you. You. You are to put off these things. Now, it doesn't mean that God won't help you, but you are to put them off. Anger. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you get angry? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have. It's not confession time yet, you know. Not yet. We'll get there. But anger, you know, he says put it off. We have to put off anger. And he says put off wrath. What's wrath? Getting even. Married couples get even all the time. We're terrible at it. We do. We don't win intentionally. If Delonda points out something bad about me, what do? I bring up something about her. That's wrath. We do it all the time. It's not a good thing. Yeah, Scott, it's not good. It's not a good thing. And then malice, and then blasphemy. Not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, blaspheming each other. Because blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, you won't care what you do. He's not talking about it. Stop blaspheming each other. Stop speaking bad about each other. Build each other up, amen? And then, lastly, he says, get rid of all filthy language out of your mouth. I remember Friday, F this, F that, F this. And then Monday, I was like, I'm not ever saying that again. The Lord set me free. I mean, I was, because I asked him, I said, man, could you take away my smoking, my drinking, my foul mouth? Yep. Okay. So I never cussed anymore. It was amazing. He got rid of that filthy language out of my mouth. It was incredible. It was a total miracle for me. But I asked him to take it away. And then I just believed he did. Just believe that he does. He takes it away. But then I had to say, I'm not going to do it anymore. Because I think God sets us free of a lot of things, but in our mind we still think that we need to do them. We turn to them as a safety place. Like we use anger as a safety net. Self-protection. You know, Dawn and I used to do that when we were younger, when we were kids. We've been married a long time, so when we were first married, before, you know, we almost killed each other. And she's laughing. It's okay. Yeah, all right. she's like, well, you've already said too much. You know. What we did, we were so mean to each other and stuff, you know. And it just, you know, we would say and do things to irritate. We'd push each other's buttons when we were young and dumb, you know. But then when we committed to Christ, we had to put that away. We had to say, okay, that's not going to happen. We had to, as I've been telling you, we had to put down the old man, the old nature. We put it down. See, because listen, the Holy Spirit will give you ideas on what to do, but he won't control you. The devil wants to control you, but the Holy Spirit won't control you. He'll say, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't say that right now. And you're like, well, I'm going to say it anyways, and you let it fly. He gives you an opportunity. He doesn't come to you and put his hand over your mouth and go, "Don't say that." He's like, "Hey, you probably shouldn't say that right now." And you're like, "I'm gonna say it anyways." And we throw up all over the place, and then we create a big mess. So you yourselves, it says, you yourselves put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language. Put them off. Put them off. Just package them up and burn them. I'm going to label them on a bottle today. Going to the mountaintop. Hallelujah. I'll take you with me, honey. And then number four, he says, real simple, do not lie to each other. Everybody say, do not. Yeah. Do not lie to each other. It's real simple. Do not lie to each other. Since you've put off the old man and his deeds, you don't have to tell lies anymore. Tell the truth. But listen, you don't have to be blatant in the truth to where it hurts people. You know when Delonda says, "Hey, do you like this dress on me?" And I really don't like it. I don't say, "Oh, my gosh, get that thing off," you know. I say, "Oh, you know, honey, that just does not flatter you the way, you know, maybe this one does." Or, you know, we got to be kind, amen. Still got to be kind, but we got to speak the truth. We can't lie. Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't lie." How many have ever told a lie? Was there anybody that hasn't lied? All right, I'm talking to the right crowd. We had a guy one day in the food ministry. I said, "Is there anybody here that hasn't told a lie?" And his hand went up. And I went, "Really?" And he looked at me and goes, "Whoops." He goes, "I just told another one." Number five, put on the new man. Put him on. Take off the old. Put on the new. Put on the new man. Renewed in knowledge. Renew your mind. We renew our mind by the word of God. Amen. We renew our mind by Bible study. We renew our mind by being in his presence, by iron sharpening iron, by talking about the things of God. And that's what I love to do. I love to talk about the things of God. Like, I'd love it tomorrow if we could all show up and just talk about this. It'd be fun. Because, you know, we reach out, man, these are my buttons, you know. I'm getting rid of them, or, you know, this is where I have, you know, we could really get in and talk about it so that we can get over it, that we can encourage one another. You know, so maybe as husband and wife, just, you know, watch the DVD or listen to it again and say, you know what, and encourage each other. You know, don't point out, "Well, Delonda, you got a little anger issue here we need to deal with," or, "You know, you're pretty wrathful," or, "You know, your filthy language," or whatever, you know. "I'll be praying for you, honey." Not that she has any of them. I'm using her as an example because it's safe, okay? I'm going to go that way. I thought I'm going to go this way. Amen. Sometimes I just need to use the chair, huh? And because, you know, we need, if we can talk about it, talk about where our battle is and how we can overcome it and encourage each other in overcoming, amen? Or encourage each other, okay, you know, because nobody likes to hear, "Well, that's just your carnal man and you need to put him to death like Pastor said." It's like, "Well, you know, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us." How many of you are perfect? Okay, so we shouldn't point the finger, right? Because we all got things. And but we do it according to the image of him who created him or her. We're created in him now. Our old things are passed away. All things are coming in. I put in my notes here, it's not about you. It's about Christ in you. And that's where we've got to gain that understanding. Christ is in me. I can do this. The devil will say, "You don't act like Christ is in you. You can't do this." That's that voice you just need to, "Get out of here, devil. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, you start letting that word just speak for you. Oh, you're always going to be this way. No, I'm not. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, we start speaking about who Christ is in us. We start realizing who Christ is and what he says. You got unsaved loved ones that are heathens and stuff. You know, just stop calling them heathens. Stop calling them unsaved. Call them what God says they are. Me and my whole household shall be saved. So you're just saved and you don't know it yet. So come on, get along with the program. Come with me. You're saved and don't know it yet. It's like a lot of people are healed and don't know it yet. I was reading Smith Wigglesworth the other day, and he said the doctors went up one side because this guy had fallen and his insides were spilling out, and he had these he had blood poisoning, he had these cancers where his insides were open, his bowels were open, and the doctors went up and said, we can't help him. We're going to get a specialist. They went to the train station to pick up the specialist. Smith Wigglesworth went up the other stairwell and went up and prayed for him, and nothing had happened. And they came back down, and then the doctors came in with that specialist, and the wife come down the stairs to Smith and said, they're going to operate. And Smith said, tell him no. I mean, his insides are coming out. He said, tell him no. The guy couldn't talk for himself. And he told the wife, you're his voice. You tell them not to operate. They will kill him if they operate on him. So she went back upstairs and she said, give me 10 minutes. And the doctors went downstairs and Smith went back up and they prayed again and they didn't see anything happen. And they went back downstairs and the doctors came upstairs and told the lady, you know, we know you're a woman of faith, but if we don't operate, this man's going to die. And she said, if you do operate, you're going to kill him. And all of a sudden the man said, it's done. I'm healed. And all the bleeding stopped. The nurse cleaned him up and said, yep, but his bowels were still open. And the doctor said, well, we still have to get in there and we have to fix this. And she said, you shall not touch my husband. A few minutes later, the man was totally healed. Even in his book, he wrote, if you want his address, I'll give it to you. Because that man is alive. You know, I'm sure he's gone to be with the Lord by now, but you're healed. You're healed. You've been fighting a battle that Jesus already won. Receive that healing. Say, man, how do I do that? Start confessing it. Start with confession of faith. Start with the confession of your mouth. I'm healed. Confess it out of your mouth. Amen. It's about Christ, not us. And then number six, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Listen, in the kingdom of God, look around right now. Look around. Look at all the different races represented here today. I love it. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no prejudice. I've said it before, if you're prejudiced, this probably isn't a good church for you because you're going to hurt somebody and we don't want that. There's no prejudicism in the kingdom of God, amen? Jews, Greek, male, female, you know, it talks about in Galatians, it doesn't matter. We're in Christ, amen? And Christ is in us. There's no separation. We're not racial. My son-in-law always tells me, well, Dad, you can always pull my son-in-law's black card. That's what he always tells me, because my son-in-law is black. And I love him like I would if he was any color. I don't care. I don't look at race. I love going and being with Chinese people. I love going to, we're going, me, Pastor Otto and I are going to Peru to be with all the Peruvians. I love the Spanish-speaking people. Man, I love it when we go to Africa and we're there. I love it in Pakistan. The people, even the Muslims in Pakistan, is amazing. They like tug on me. I need healing. I need healing. I got a pain. And I prayed for this one Muslim guy, old man. I prayed for him and nothing happened. He looked at me and he goes, it still hurts. I said, okay. I mean, he's like, I'm not going away until this pain goes away, you know? Because, you know, even Muslims believe that Jesus heals. He is the Lord God, our healer. And so, you know, there's no division. And we can't allow division, amen, in the kingdom of God. We can't allow the division. We've got to speak what God is wanting to speak to us. We've got to be who God's called us to be. I put it in my notes here. We don't get to be picky. You don't get to pick what people that you're going to be around. God's bringing people to you. Amen? So in conclusion today, there's an assumption in here that because we're in Christ, we've let go of these things. That's what Paul's assuming, that you're in Christ, you've let go, you're letting go of these things. They're done. That we're empowered by the blood of Jesus to let go of these things, and that Jesus took them to the cross and paid the price for them. So that fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language are not a part of our lives. Because we're in Christ. Feel like your minds are racing right now. These are the things that we're to be free from because we're in Christ. We don't have to hold on to them, we can let them go. So the only question comes down to, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Is Christ in you? Can we come into agreement today that these things need to be done away with? Can we agree on that today? Amen? These things need to be done away with? You know, I felt when we were, me, Pastor Jesse, Pastor Rob, were just visiting on Wednesday, talking about the church and where we're going and everything. And I really feel that today we need to come into a powerful agreement for the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. The freedom that we are free. We're not bound by these things. We're bound by what we let have bondage in us. And so maybe today you're saying, man, well, I get angry, or I have passions for bad things. I have some evil desires. I have filthy language. Whatever it is. Maybe you say, no, I've got some of that stuff. But I believe that God wants to take it away. You know, when I played football here at Corona High School. And we'd get in a huddle. When we'd get in that huddle, and the quarterback would call the play, and the whole intent of that play was to score a touchdown. I mean, that's the ultimate thing, score a touchdown, to have victory. And I believe that today God wants us to have victory. I believe that He wants us to leave this place in victory. So I'm going to ask you to do a hard thing today. I'm going to ask if we could just get in a huddle. All around the outside walls and down here, if we could just get together and hold hands in unity today in a huddle. And that may be, you know, you might be new here today, and God bless you if you're new here today, but let's get in a huddle. It won't hurt. But when we get in a huddle, CC's already moving to the side. There you go. That's just like that. Let's just get in a huddle. Delana's coming up here. Yeah, let's get in a huddle. Let's huddle up. And we're going to pray. Come on up here, Dion. Come on, huddle up. I'll be the center. Remember, we got a break in the huddle. Hey, you guys might have to come forward a little bit. All you guys in the back might have to come forward so we can go across right here. Why don't you come to where the break is right here, and let's do it that. Remember, when we played football, the center always held his hands up and said, huddle up, huddle up, huddle up. And why don't you grab Sister Mildred's hands right there so she's part of this huddle. There we go. Come on, sister. We need you in our huddle. Here, you can come sit down. Bring her a chair up here. Bring her a chair up here so she can sit down up here. Pastor Jesse, there. So just snap that chair off. Hello. Oh, yeah, there you go. Hallelujah. You know, go ahead behind me there. Quarterback would always come to the middle of the huddle. And I want to tell you today, maybe you got some of them things that they've been active in your life. And you're saying, man, I'm done. I'm going to be in Christ. He's going to be my focus. Just in the spirit today, throw them to the center. Just throw them down into the center right here. So if you know you got something, just do that act. Just throw it down in the center right here. Just throw it away right now today. It's gone. It's done. It's dealt with. I'm in Christ. We're just throwing it into the middle today. Hallelujah. Amen. It's done in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we come before you today as the body of Christ, huddled around your promise and your word. We are huddled around what you have done for us. You have made a way for us to be free, and you've called us into freedom today. You've called us to let go of our carnal thinking and to pick up our cross and follow after you. Lord, we let go of those things which are carnal today, Lord, and we join together in faith, believing that it's done with. But Lord, we also see in your word that we have to put these things away. And Lord, so I pray that today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, that Lord, we would choose to put these things away. That Father God, that we would capture every thought and imagination that would exalt itself against the word of God, and we would throw it down in the name of Jesus. That Lord, that you cover, protect, and deliver and strengthen each one of us. Yeah, Father, that we walk as children of the light. Lord, you called us, you said you are the light of the world. And I pray that we would shine so bright. I thank you today that, Lord, you've healed old wounds which have distracted us and deterred us, Father God. That, Lord, that we have the victory in Christ Jesus, that you are victory and we are in you and you are in us. So we have the victory and we come together today joining hands in agreement. And you said if any two agree on any one thing, it shall be done. So we believe it's done today, Lord, that today that we're walking out, and Lord, and we choose to follow Jesus. We choose to be in Christ and Christ in us. So, Lord, I pray that your joy would be our strength. You carry us through. You propel us into the future of who you've called us to be. And, Lord, I pray for the healing power of the blood of Jesus to be overactive and in every person today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have the victory. So now you can go and celebrate. Amen. And have a great 4th of July, a great day tomorrow. But just remember Christ in everything that you're doing. Have a great day. We'll see you Wednesday night. Tuesday night we have Celebrate Recovery, working through issues of life. Praise God. Be a part of what God is doing here. On Friday night we're praying. Love you guys. God bless you. Have a great day. Amen.